Okay. Says the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey Amud Bet. Shel Truma to Meyapsula Deles by Heter Achila. We already discussed that. Shel Truma to Hora Lo Yito. Right, about 10 lines down or so. Why is Lech Lechat Chila Truma Torah is no problem, right? Because Truma Torah has Heter Chila, has Din Mamon. You know, there's certain things you're not allowed to do with it, but it's the total regular property of the Kohen or whoever he sells it to, and it's totally edible. So what's the problem? Lechat Chila Plimer of Amir of Asi, Chad of Nesha Machshira, Chad of Nesha Mafsida. One says because you're Machshir, and one says because you're Mafsid. Mafsid means when a lot of people pass it around and you pick it up and carry it all over, you might rub off some of the outer peel, and you're not allowed to be mafsid to waste truma. Right, what's the nafkamina? If you made it all truma, but the outer layer didn't make truma, because you can verbally declare only part of a fruit to be truma, then there's no problem hefsid, because you're ruining the outer layer, which is chulin. There's still a problem with machshir, because they're machshir the whole thing. What exactly does machshir mean? So, we all think we know what machshir means. Machshir means hechshir zrayim, right? The Parsha Shmini, not too long ago. If water, or one of these seven liquids, let's say water for our purposes, touches any type of food for the first time, then it becomes able to be makabel toma, a foodstuff which never got wet can is not makabel toma, it's not machshir, and water is machshirit. So somehow you get it wet, that is hechshir lekabel toma. Here the Rabbeinu Hananel says something very peculiar here. Says Rabbeinu Hananel, okay, I found no one who agrees with Rabbeinu Hananel here. Mashvilei mana, we know, mana is a kli. You turn it into a kli. Apparently, he interprets machshira not mitam ritual purity hechshir, but machshir meaning you ani machshir something for use in something, right? You prepare it to be useful. You turn it into a utensil. Apparently, for Rabbeinu Hananel, the problem is you are turning a food into a utensil. Now, it's not literally a utensil, right? Because you're not actually using it to do any work with it. You're just using it to be yotze, a ritual obligation. But apparently, the point is, you're using it for a non-food purpose. And you are sort of defining it as not something intended for food anymore, but something intended for a non-food purpose, like a kli. Again, how literally does he think it's like a kli? That's hard to tell, because this is a big chiddush. But at the very least, it is similar to a kli as opposed to, of course, a food.
It's not any worse than the hadas from the other day about Shabbos. I mean, tikkun mana.
Okay, correct. So here, yes?
Why wouldn't the planet necessarily be cool,
though? Aha. So, here, the question is, mashvili mana. What's the iser mashvili mana? So, Ellie assumed without saying, and Joel at least implied or hinted without saying, he's talking about Yontif here. When you pick it up the first time in Yontif, you're doing an Isser Midrabanan, let's assume, a Makav, a Patish, a Tikkun Kli, by making it into a Kli like the Hadas. I don't think that's what Rabbeinu Hananel means at all. By the Hadas, I understand you're picking on Yontif, you're actually changing it. Over here, you pick it. I don't think that's what he means. I think he means something different. And then, of course, I'd be open to Ellie's question if I thought that's what he meant. He doesn't mean mitzad malacha on yontif. He means mitzad kedushas truma. And here he has a chiddush in truma. Truma is, of course, a food. And truma is supposed to be eaten as a food. We all know that you're, from this Gemara, you're not allowed to waste truma and destroy it so that it's no longer edible as a food. Now, I might have thought, without this Rabbeinu Hananel, I'm not allowed to waste truma and destroy it so it's not a food. But to, like, turn it into a kli, use it as a kli for a while, and then use it, then eat it later, I might have thought it was just fine. Like, for example, you know, the kids in the old days, before they invented marbles, right, they used to roll nuts to play marbles with. So let's say what? Nowadays they use pits, but they don't use the nuts. They use gogoim, I think it's, I don't know what the okay. But they don't use nuts. But in the old days, for marbles, they used to use nuts, walnuts, or other, maybe other round things. So I might have thought it's perfectly fine to use that. I'll use it in marbles, and when the season's over, you know, we go on to klafim season, then I'll eat it. So the Rabbeinu Chananel here is telling us a chiddush. Hey, I think this is a chiddush. It is an iser of hefted truma to take truma that is defined as intended for eating and turn it into something that's defined as used for not eating, as used as a kli. That is a big chiddush. I don't have a mucker for this in Shas, but it's clear to me that's what he means. He's not talking about Shabbos and Yontif. That's not the problem here. After all, then chulun is the problem. He's saying that there is an iser to take a truma food, and even if you leave it edible, you're not ruining its edibility physically. You're just defining it as for a non-food purpose. That is an iser of taking truma away from its proper use. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel.
The Minchas Chinuch says that the reason why Hasharas Mayim makes something mekabel tumah that's yirachlos is because that's his kamar malacha. And that's where I thought the kavona of the rachlos. And then the fancy rach they have in the base medrash. Apparently, that if one says that's in the rach, it's the shiitaso to another rach in psachim and a few other rachs among shas.
What was that through mana?
No,
mana is a kli.
No, but
you think mana means an ochel?
He thinks that, yeah, it's like, it's mana, just like there's gemir smalacha by mana, it's like gemir smalacha for the
ochel. Yeah,
I mean,
it's cute.
You see a lot of people say it, like tons of achron.
First of all, I only saw one achron say it in the name of tons of achron.
No, because there's
and second of all, I don't care.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
Why
is what you're saying more mistaber?
Because mana means kli, it doesn't mean a food. You're saying what he really means, you're finishing it as a food, which is the idea of Hefsher's Rum, that it makes it a finished food.
Just like mana, it's the gemira.
He says mana, it's a very, very strange word to say.
What would you want him to say?
Why didn't Rabbeinu Chananel learn the normal pshat?
Why didn't he learn the normal pshat? After all, this is not too even shutin. First of all, Rabbeinu Chananel is a big chiddush in din. That I can handle. That was Takashita. But it's obviously not the simple shot of the word Hechsher. We all know what Machshirin means. Machshirin is all over Shas, right? We all know it, what Hechsher means. Hechsher is never used in Shas to mean turn something into a utensil. It's always used in Shas to mean Hechsher Zoram. So why would he interpret it in a Dachuk way? He must have had a problem with the regular pshat. What problem did he have with the regular pshat?
What's these?
So he could have had, the truth is he could have had two problems with the regular pshat. One problem, but more likely, right, there are two problems with the regular pshat. One, I think the biggest problem with the regular pshat is, what's the iser of hechsher truma? After all, we're always machsher truma. If a kohen gets truma wheat, what does he do with it? Does he puff it and eat it as a snack? No, we all know he grinds it and kneads it with water and bakes bread. When he kneads it with water, he's machsher it. What does a kohen do if he gets truma potatoes? He boils them in a pot of water and he's machsher it. Every time a kohen gets truma, almost every time a kohen gets truma, he's machsher it. And let's say he gets an apple. We never heard he's not allowed to wash the apple before he eats it. Right? Nehechi tasty that there's an iser to be machsher truma. So I think that's probably, there could be two possibilities why. Here we have hechsher. Machshira. Rabbeinu Chananel. Will say who kli, while everyone else says it's about Hefsher Zroim. By the way, Hefsher Zroim, just as an aside, is Lavdavka Zroim. That all in the realm of Chulin, etc., that also applies to meat, for example. Just the Pusik says about Zroim, so we call it Hefsher Zroim. But it's really true of all food, whether it's Zroim, whether it's a different type of vegetable, or whether it's even an animal source food. What's Rabbeinu Chananel's problem? Lechora's problem is, we heard there's an issue with Tamei Truma all over Shas. We never heard there's an issue to be Machshir Truma.
Didn't Rabbeinu Chananel, just a side question, the mitzvah of Baba Meir. So, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, if it was actually making it into a kli, then wouldn't you have to make it into a kli by designating it for your Arbamina every single time you'd ever use one? At which point, how could the Mishnah say that it's kosher?
Wouldn't it be a mitzvah baba vira because you violated making it into a kli? And as a matter of fact, you have to do that? That's an interesting question.
I would suggest, part of the point, and we're going to find out why it's weird, at least it's like this isn't found anywhere in Shas. So maybe here is a special takandra abanan, and maybe Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't think that it's relevant on a district or a bond.
Right, so that's what I was about to say, that if we assume this is not a d'oraisa iser, it's only an iser d'rabbanan, which is a reasonable thing to assume, then maybe he thinks there's no mitzvah aveira in an iser d'rabbanan, or, maybe you could say that although Rabbi Chanan does paskin, does have the gersa mitzvah of Aveira. Yeah, no, you can't say. Okay, maybe you say that. Yes,
I would have thought potentially you could say it's saying more balabatish, but like in terms of the just the mitzias. Like, first of all, that here we're talking about Yisraelim dealing with Trum rather than Kohanim, so they're not as careful. And second of all, the fact there's a tzivu in them to be touching this and taking this for 7 days. It's not just stam, we never heard of such a list, but the fact that so you're going to have a whole week of
people. Okay, fair enough. The first kind is my close to Shalom. Some people say it's only a Kohen. Well, the Rashi says it's Yisrael. Fair enough. But, fair enough. So I think you could take this in two ways. One way is that, and here I don't have a strong marker for this, and I think you're right. That's Rabbi Chanan's objection. I could have thought of another objection. But let's assume, probably, Rabbi Chanan's objection was Ein Isser Lehachshir Truma. So, how did the other Rishonim answer? So I think you could go in one of two ways. One way you could say, which is not what Aaron just said, one way you could say is that maybe there is an Isser Lehachshir Truma Shelo Letzorech. And what counts with Tzorech? I don't mean my needs. My needs are not relevant. I mean, tzorech achila, because truma is meant for achila. If I have a non-achila need, that's not a valid need. Maybe there is an issue l'hachshir truma. It's mutar l'tzorech, but also shalom l'tzorech. And so when I'm cooking and cleaning and baking, so that's hachshir l'tzorech. When I am just stam, being yotzei in mitzvah say, even though that's very important in the grand scheme of things, but that's not important in the framework of truma. Truma is not intended to be used for mitzvahs, it's intended to be used for eating. Everything else is considered not relevant. So maybe you could say, Aser Lehachshir Truma, even though we haven't found this anywhere in Shas, Shelo Litzorech Achila. So, of course, you bake bread and you boil potatoes. But that's because it's a mitzvah to eat truma, so you do things that lead to the eating. But when there's no mitzvah to eat truma, maybe it's asur l'hachshir. And maybe it's only drabbanan, that would be fine with me. Maybe you could say that. The other option is...
What are you afraid of?
What? You're afraid of that once you're mastered, it might become tummy.
But a lot of things, there are things that you don't need...
Okay, but so here I say this one of two ways. Either it's a gzeir drabanan, lest it become tame, and they were gozer shol makam tzorech, or you can say mishmeres trumosai means shmira mitoma. Shmira mitoma means don't even come a step closer to toma unnecessarily. That's not called shmira. So I could say this either to rice or drabanan, either mitam gzeira shema. Yitame, mitam shmira. And if we assume that shmira means that you have to go out of your way to guard it, now what does that mean, going out of your way? It means build a fence, don't even let it get close. In all circumstances, no, when not necessary. You know, it's hard to go from shmira if I unnecessarily, right, let it get one step closer to destruction. That's not called a shmira. Okay, the other option, and this is... The other option
is cover mikuvah, like at the beginning of Nida, the two are supposed to be machmir and nidah.
Okay, correct, but then you have to figure out how to apply it. Okay, the other option, of course, is that it's not really the hechsher that's a problem. It's not the hechsher that's a problem. The problem is that in this particular case, as Aaron said, there were choshesh for tuma. Normally, they're not choshesh, they'll be matame truma. Why? Because even if it is a kohen, you know, there's truma, he has his truma, his kitchen works with the rules of truma, his family keeps the rules of truma, he eats altaras truma perhaps, or he's used to eating truma. So there's a certain ma'arechet, and we trust you to be careful within that ma'arechet. But over here, you are picking it up outside your kitchen where you don't usually bring truma, and you're probably bringing it to shul where there's a hamon am who don't know that it's truma, and even if they did, they're not used to all this truma v'tara stuff, or at least not on the level of truma, right? Because remember, even Yisraelim who are tahor, legabe, chulin, we don't trust them for truma. That's a right big day, Prusha Medras Lochli Truma. So I think there's a merit. In this case, you're exposing it to a lot of Torah. Now, if it wouldn't be Moksher, so there'd be no problem. You can expose it to whatever you want. But once it might be Moksher, then it's not that the Heksher is what bothers us. Is that the Tumah? That if not for the Heksher, there would be no Chashash Tumah. But once there's Heksher, it's really Gzeira that you might be Metameyet. Why aren't we go to every Kohen might be Metameyet? Okay, because every Kohen, he takes his Truma here and there and someplace else, and it's in the proper framework. Over here, you're bringing it out to the broader world, out of its framework, so maybe it's really Gzeira Shema Yitamenu. Because you are, as Aaron said, bringing it to shul for 7 days. And what does machshira mean? That if it wasn't mukshir, there wouldn't be gzeira. If it wasn't Moksha, there wouldn't be Gzeira. But once it can become Moksha, the Gzeira is not up to Heksha, the Gzeira is up to Tuma. Okay, I know these are subtly different, but I still think they're different. But once it's Moksha, we are Gazru, Gazru because of Shash Tuma. Okay, so this is, of course, the famous machlokis between the Aruch Lener and the Tosfos. What's the Nafkamina? I think the Nafkamina is, Pashas the Nafkamina is, what about Kvar Mokshar? What if it was already Mokshar, the Kabbal Toma? Who knows? It got wet for some reason. Someone got wet. It was already Mokshar. Now can I use it or not? Says Tosfos. That could have been enough gemina. Mandam Rav Sida would be Macher. Mandam Rav Shira would be Mekel. Says Tosos. Motor Lemanda Omar Mipnei Shemach Shira. And then Tosos just has to say something a little dochuk. If it's Motor Lemanda Rav Shira, why don't they say Inami Nafkamina if it's Kfar Mokshar? Mandam Rav Sida would be Macher. Mandam Rav Shira would be Mekel. And just they could have said that. The Aruch Lener argues on Tosos. Even though the beginning of the Aruch Lener sounds like you can deny this Nafkamina, but the Aruch Lener argues on Tosos and says, no, it's for sure Usur, because it's not, the Gzeira is not really Hechsher. That's just the background for the Gzeira. The Gzeira is really Shemi Tamenu. So if we're Gozer and it's not Mokshar, that it might become Mokshar and then become Tamei, we're for sure Kal V'chomer, Kol Shem, where Gozer and it's already Mokshar that it might become Tamei. So that would be a Nafkamina between these two understandings. Theoretically, in the beginning of the Aruch Lener, you could have denied this Nafkamina. He changes tune a little in the middle. You could have said, no, even the Gzeira of Tuma, we're only Gozer when it's not Mokshar, and then you won't realize it's Mokshar and you won't be careful. But if you realize it's Mokshar, we trust you, which is what he says in the beginning, but then in the end he retracts from that, and he says it's a Nafkamina, and therefore he wants to make Duke from the Rama. The Rama is against Tosos, you could take it or leave it, but that's the Nafkamina to the nature of this Gzeira. Okay, that is probably the Rach's objection. He just didn't like either of these Pshatim. He didn't like either of these Pshatim.
Has the objection been Tosfos? Why? The very reason that this is an Nafkamina in the Gemara, that isn't his objection.
Ooh, that's the Aruch Lener's objection.
Yeah, I'm talking about Rino
Hanan. No, I think his objection is he just didn't like the idea. He wasn't convinced by the idea. Why is it logical to forbid Heksher?
On top of it, you can throw, you see later, the whole thing about focus of whether it's Ladato or not, whether it's Nikolay or not.
Okay. So, of course, one other possibility is what might Rav's objection have been? And this is what does Rav say? What do you mean, Deshimach Shira? What is Machshira? You bring your esrog to shul, not to the bathhouse. To the best of my knowledge, they don't put water on things in shul. I go to shul every Sukkot, I move an esrog, and it never gets wet in shul.
But you gave us the makor that they did spray.
I know. It's not fair for you to get ahead of me in shir because of what I put in the makoros. You have your own idea, Tana. But, it's not valid when the Rebbe has a kasha to say, but I found the answer in your Makoros. That's, there's got to be a limit someplace. Okay, so, what does Rashi say? But how is it Moksher? Mehechi Tasi, how do you get your esrog wet? Did you ever get your esrog wet? I never get my esrog wet. So, So Rashi says no, because the Mefurish Mishnah later on, Mekabelas Isha Miyabinom Yad Balo Machzeres L'Mayim B'Shabbos. It's a Mefurish Mishnah later on. I know nowadays everyone has patented for keeping the three minim fresh. Really, the lulav, that's such a big deal. That's not a rope, so it's a big deal, right? Everyone has their patent, and they put them in the fridge, they put them in a vacuum pack, they put them in a wet paper, whatever it is. Water obviously keeps flowers fresh, that we all know from everyday experience. So what did they do in the old days? They didn't have refrigerators, they didn't have vacuum pack, they didn't have silver foil. What did they do? They had a vase of water, same as regular flowers. So as soon as the guy came home from shul, he would take his lulav, his aguda, with the lulav and hadassim and aravos, and put it in a vase of water to keep it fresh. And the Mishnah there is just saying that the wife, even though she's not mitzvah, can also do it, okay, not to be choshish, even on Shabbos and Yontif. On Shabbos and Yontif, even though she's part of the Mishnah by Rama, the Kabbalah Isha, she's also allowed to put it in the water. Fine, Seder. So what does Rashi say? You put the lulav in the water. You don't put the esrog in the water. Who puts an esrog in the water? Can't imagine it would even be so good for the esrog. I don't know. It depends how high the water is. So Rashi says, no. When you take the lulav out of the water, and then, obviously, you're supposed to touch the lulav to the esrog. That's the accepted halacha. So then the esrog touches the lulav, and it gets water on it. That's very reasonable. If one thing is wet, and you're supposed to touch that to something else, it's pretty mistaber the other thing will get wet. You never know. Maybe all the water will drip off before it touches. Maybe it won't. But it's a pretty mistaber chashash. What's the problem everyone has with Rashi? Is that ki yitain v'chi yutan mayim al zera? What's written? V'chi yitain, and the drasha is yutan dum yedi yitain ma yitain denichalei af yutan denichalei. We have a rule in all of Machshirin that water is only machshir if it's nichalei, if you want it to get wet. If I drop my produce and it lands in a puddle, that's not mochshir l'kabel toma. If it rains on my pile of produce and I don't want it, if it turns out I'm happy, then that's a different story. But against my will, that's not mochshir l'kabel toma. Okay, there are even other cases which I'm not going to mention now because then that'll confuse us too much in a minute. So you could, now, I don't think that's the Rosh's objection. I think probably the Rosh's objection, but it's just a hashara, no proof, was that he didn't like the Aruch Lanier, because it says machshir, not matami. And he didn't like Tosfos, either for the Aruch Lanier's reason, or just like Mehechidesi, we never found this. But you could say, you know, and I have no idea, meaning I'm just, I think probably, I have no reason.
If I met explicitly in Dovid Mishurim.
That was the Rosh's problem?
Shekosin, yeah.
Okay, the Dovid Mishurim says that was the Rosh's problem. Great, okay, wonderful. Maybe Rosh's objection is that it's not mukhshar because lo nichalei. Maybe that's the Rosh's objection. In which case, then we have to figure out, taka, how do the other Rishonim address the Rosh's objection, right? How do we answer for the other Rishonim? So here we have a few possibilities. One possibility is the Ritva, and it's not a deal, because it's pretty mefurish, in Tosfos and Zora, in Avodah Zorah, says the Ritva something very strange. Says the Ritva, you would put all four species in the water, not just three. Mekabels Isha Miyad Ba'al Miyad Benah. All four species you would put in the water. And that's strange to me, just because I think I'd take the same four species that they took in the time of the Ritva, and which are the same four species they took at the time of the Mishnah. I don't think they've changed so much since then. And you don't need to put your esrog in the water. And as a matter of fact, I never tried, but I have this feeling that it might not be good to put my esrog in the water every night. I never tried, but it doesn't seem like a good idea to me. But it's certainly not necessary. Okay, but says the Ritva, apparently their esrogim, I guess, were less fresh than our esrogim. I'm not sure why. Chorev esrog trees grow in Eretz Yisrael. I assume esrog trees grew in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mishnah also. Historians are very unclear as to exactly when they started growing esrogim in all countries. But whatever, let's make the assumption that somehow their esrogim were so old, or somehow some conditions, who knows, made them so not fresh that they had to soak them in water. Okay, could be.
But actually, Lamaisa, you have modern refrigerators. The fruit bin, they have the thing that it should stay moist inside.
Okay. Keep the fruit fresh. Interesting, okay. And Tosfos in Avodah Zorah says something maybe a little less radical. Also, it's not our common minhag, but I think it's a little less radical. Says Tosfos in Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's a total tangent of a tangent there. But he says that Avol Bechag on Sukkos Marbitz Olei Mayim. He's really talking about how they used to keep Esrogim fresh all year long. Avol Bechag. And he quotes our Mishnah. Marbitzle mayin. He says that marbitzin means not that it's soaking in water, and he doesn't mean literally it's in our Mishnah. He just means the idea of our Mishnah. He assumes that they would sprinkle water in the Esrogim, moisture like in the fruit drawer, to keep it hadar. Okay, that again we don't do that. Our Esrogim seem to do very well for 7 days without. But okay, there you see, there's slightly different technology, etc. You know, you could see how they might need to at least spritz it a little. So if you take Tosos or the Ritva, then you solve the problem, right? Says the Ritva, because then you're doing it on purpose. Shorin Esrog b'mayim, unlike Rashi, or Tosos and Avodah Zarah marbitzin. All of Mayim against Rashi. Rashi assumes, no, they're never purposely wet the Esrog. But if you say they're purposely wet the Esrog, then Shalom Yisrael. The Adli Miluim answers this. He says, look, this is the most famous machlokas Rama and Raivin, all of Maseches Machshirin, no? Pretty sure. Says the Adli Miluim. He says, there's a famous machlokas Rama and Raivin in the beginning of Maseches Machshirin. I think it's the very beginning. My Taurus is a little rusty. Here we are. Komashya shekilos al ratzon afi shein sofer al ratzon. Sofer al ratzon afi shein shekilos al ratzon harei zeh bichi yutan. Okay. Then he has mashkin tamein. We're not going to get into that. He says that any water that's chilasa baratzon or sofa baratzon is good enough. You don't need the whole thing. You need either chilasa or sofa. As long as there's some ratzon involved, that's good enough. What does chilasa and sofa mean? This is important b'kiyus to know. This is a famous machlokas, Rambam and Ravid. Obviously, there are others involved as well, but this is a famous machlokas. Rambam and Ravid says the Rambam, it means if it water fell on your fruit and you were happy at the beginning, even though you were unhappy at the end, or you were unhappy at the beginning and happy at the end. Meaning, if your fruit was wet for an hour, either the beginning or the hour, or the end of the hour, as long as you have 1 second of nochiyot, that's considered nicholei ratzon, which is, in which case, it's not a very big chiddush. You know, the hagmin otherwise has to be fancy. You know, what it means is that if it was wet for an hour, any time during that hour that you wanted it to be wet is good enough. You don't have to be happy the whole hour. You only have to be happy for 1 second. The Ravid and many other Mefarshim, however, say, no. Lo teima shenafal ochel b'tchilo b'ratza l'shem ratza bo t'chilo l'shem davar tolosh afli shenafal ochel shol ratza ve'im b'ratza bo t'chilo l'sof harei hu machshir. He says, no, t'chila and sof doesn't mean t'chila and sof of your fruit being wet. It means t'chila of the mashkin and sof of the mashkin, meaning if at first you wanted this water to be drawn for some purpose, that's tchila. And sof means you wanted this fruit to get wet. So what tchila and sof is a big chiddush going to the Ravid. Let's say I have an apple of truma. Sof means this water, it rained by, not accident, but by, you know, nature, by force of, you know, by act of God, it rained. The tchila was not l'ratzon. I didn't want the water to be collected l'ratzon. It just rained. But then I was happy it was on my apple because my apple needed a little freshening. That's sofa l'ratzon. What's tchila l'ratzon? Tchila l'ratzon means I drew some water in a bucket for washing my car. And then I accidentally dropped an apple into it. Even though I didn't want the apple to get wet at all, since I first wanted the water to be drawn, and okay, it has to be drawn for a proper purpose, which he says is l'shem davar talush, I drew it for the sake of using it for something not attached to the ground, okay? I drew this water in a bucket to wash my car, even though I didn't want my apple to get wet at all. That's tilos of the rutz, and that's good enough. In other words, what's the fundamental machlokas here in Lundus? The Rambam thinks you need
ratzon of hechsher ha'pri. You need ratzon on that the pri should be wet. The rabbi says, no, you really need ratzon, the mashkin should be chashuv. As long as you have ratzon on the mashkin, that's good enough. You can have ratzon on the mashkin in the beginning. You wanted to wash your car with it. You didn't want your apple to get wet. Or you can have mashkin in the end. You didn't initially want to do anything with the water, but now you're happy that it's wetting your apple. But for the rabbi, the ratzon is on the mashkin getting a chaloshe mashkin. And it's only chaloshe mashkin if you want it to benefit some object, to be used for some object.
It doesn't have to be for food?
No, it has to be for shum dover talush. He says, shum dover talush. That's clear, like a car, remember the whole car and the hotel, etc.
I thought it had to be like you would master for this apple.
No. Shum dover talush. Again, we're not getting into the car and the hotel, but perhaps I'll jog your memory.
Where's this from again?
It's in the brackets. Tumas Oslan per Gib Base Halacha Base. And by the way, most Rishonim agree with the Ravid. I don't count in my head, but most Rishonim, I don't really count in my head. I'm not a Bucky in Taros, but I remember that most Rishonim agree with the Ravid. Okay, so, and again, what's the deep lumbus here? For the Rambam, the Ratzon is on the Ochel that it should be wet. It could be wet at the beginning of its wetness or the end of its wetness. For the Ravid, the Ikar Ratzon is on the Mashke, that it should be a drawn water, that it should be, I don't mean literally shu'uvim, but that it should be a useful water. Whether you want to be useful at the beginning for something else, or you want to be useful at the end for this fruit. Says the Amnei Miluim, I mean, not much of a chiddush, all you need to do is put two and two together. Says the Amnei Miluim, he says, according to the Ravid, against Rambam, Nika. Shaharei tchilaso l'ratzon. Tchilaso l'ratzon bishvil halulav afal pi she'ein sofo l'ratzon bishvil ha'esrog. Right? Even though it's not sofo l'ratzon, you never want the esrog to get wet. But that's okay, you wanted this water to wet the lulav. For the Rambam, that's called Tchilas of the Ratzon, not for the Rambam. The other one doesn't say explicitly, but it's this came according to the Rambam. This works fine, not according to the Rambam. What would the Rambam have to say? Maybe the Rambam would have to either say Rabbeinu Chananel or say like the Ritva and Tosfos and Azara. Rambam has options. The Chazon Ish says something very complex, which I'm not going to. You might think to say something much more simple here, but the Chazon Ish knows all the other Mishnayos. In the Sefer Machshirin and elsewhere, so he has the very subtle formulation to get it to work. And if you want to really appreciate it, you have to look at it inside. Says the Chazon Ish, though, he says something different. He says, remember the Mishnah has Yitin and Yutan, right? You could put it, or it could be there by itself. Everyone else assumes until the Chazon Ish, and for very, very good reason, if you would just read through the Sefer Machshirin, that there's no difference in Yitin and Yutan. The drush is yitin dum yit yutan. Yitin yutan, the same thing, whether I physically touched food to water or it happened on its own makes no difference. It's all a matter of mental rustle. The Chazon Ish says a big chiddush. He says, no, there's a difference in yitin and yutan. And he says this to answer our sugya. I don't mean he says this in general. He says the difference in yitin and yutan. And he wants to say this even for the Rambam. This is a chiddush for the Rambam. When something accidentally gets wet, then it's only mosher if I wanted it to get wet. But when something gets wet on its own, it's only mosher if I wanted it to get wet. But if I physically touch my food to water, like I do in this case, where I physically take the esrog and I touch it to the wet lulav, not on purpose, but I physically did it, then even if I don't want it to get wet, as long as I once wanted the water to be used for some davar talush, the Rambam would agree to the Ravid. So this is a big finish. So says the Chazon Ish, according to the Rambam, to answer up the Rambam, because he knows the Ravid has no problem, he says that there's two cases. There's Yutan and there's Yitain. When Yutan, Ba'inan, Ratzon, She'ochal Zeh, Yeratev. Then it's only mosher if you want this food to be wet, and here you don't want the esrog to be wet. But But when it's yitain, like in this case, it's yitain. You took the esrog and you stuck it next to a wet lulav. Not intentionally, but you physically were yitain. Then sagi, the rutzon of the raivid. Rutzon, bishas. Or sagi rutzon, meikara, shehamashkin, yishamshu, lishum, davar talush, like the raivid. Meaning, what he's saying is the Rambam half agrees to the Raivid. In Yitain, he agrees to the Raivid. As long as you wanted this to be Chalos Mashkin, that's good enough. In Yutan, that's the only case he disagrees with the Raivid. Then you have to want this. So if it rained on my Esrog, then that's Yutan. Only if I want my Esrog to get wet is it Mosher. But if I dropped my Esrog into a bucket of water because I wanted to free my hands to catch china that was falling, but I actually dropped it, that's yitain. Then, as long as I wanted that bucket of water to be useful water once, that's good enough. Okay, he needs the subtlety to address cases where if I put things in a river because I need to hide them from the ganovim, then it's not mosher. He says, okay, that's because whatever. Okay, anyway, this is a fascinating tzvedinim, by the way. We're not getting to the taros here, and I didn't really mean to say this at all. I put it in brackets, but it's hard to resist. In terms of the idea of what the rutzon is, just what is the rutzon on? For the Rambam, it's on the ochel getting wet. The pshat of the Rambam. For the Raivid, it seems to be on the Mashke being useful. And again, a specific type of usefulness. For the Rambam, Lefi Chazanish, there seems to be Beis Dinim. In Yitain, you only need Kavana on the Mashke. You don't need Ratzon for the Ochel to get wet. And in Yutan, then you need kavana for the mashke and for the ochel, and then you would say that's yitain dumya de yutan is that yitain is nichale even the sinas mashkel ochel. Okay, how he guesses this is Russia, no, we will leave him to figure out. Anyway, this is a big Kiddush L'Chazanish. It's a big Kiddush L'Chazanish. No one else thinks the Rambam means that. And the truth is, why does he say it? To get the Rambam out of our sugya. But the Chazanish doesn't have to say this, because we have two other ways of explaining our sugya through the Rambam. Either Rabbeinu Chananel, which is that it's not talking about this in the first place, and the Dovid Meisharim said this was Rabbeinu Chananel's objection, which, again, who knows? You know, it's got to be one of these two. Or say, like the Ritvan Tosan of Ozara. So you're not stuck with the Chazanish.
The Rambam says Hechsher Tumah.
The Rambam says Hesher Tumah Hesher Shnayis, or Reis or Rebbe Chananel. Fine, the Seder. You're right. I said no to agree with Rebbe Chananel. Okay, so you can still get out of it by saying the Ritva or Tosfos of Avodah Zarah. Shalom al Yisrael.
The Rambam didn't say that.
Okay, I am in the Chazan Ish. The Chazan Ish is a Chiddush. I admit it's a nice idea. I like the idea. It's an attractive idea to be Mechalot in Yitain in Yutan. It's at least an intriguing idea. I admit that A, it's a little hard in the Drush Sapsukim. B, it's a little hard in the Lashon HaRambam. C, he said it to answer our sugya. And you can answer our sugya with the Ritva and Tosfos Avodah Zarah. So bottom line, when I pass like this, Chazan Ish, no.
Especially since Chazal
is
from the
Pasuk
of Torah.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, Seder, okay. The thing is that if it's a Chazan Ish, he probably had something up his sleeve. Like, he didn't just say things that weren't pshat. Other Achronim said things that weren't pshat. If you told them, it's not pshat, they'd say, yeah, but I think the idea is right anyway. The Chazan Ish didn't say things that weren't pshat, so, you know, you never know what he had up his sleeve. All the Gedolei Achronim were smarter than me, but some of them, I could say, it didn't bother them that it wasn't pshat, so Seder, the Chazan Ish, I don't know, okay, I'm sure that, you know, let me be very frank with you, it's quite possible that I didn't get to the proper amkus of the Chazan Ish in Machshirim, and maybe that's a little beyond me. Okay, weiter. Let's move on in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. V'im natal k'sheira l'manum v'shein b'hetor chil v'yish b'hetor chil l'manum v'shein b'mamon or yish b'din mamon v'shel d'mai my tamid v'yish hillel. And here we analyze this a lot already. Came in the my makuli nechli v'avi ani v'chazan v'hashinami lachem karina bay. Okay, and we already analyzed this line enough. Ditznan, now just let's see what the background is. The background of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Did Beis Hillel Beis Shammai have an argument here Again, except for the Marban and Luchos, the Poshub Shat. Are Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai arguing here because they have some argument about Lulav Esrog? No, this is just an afkamina of their argument about Demai. Simple pshat is, except for the Rambam Muhammad, that they would both admit that if Aniyim could eat Demai, you'd be Yotze with an Esrog of Demai. And if Aniyim couldn't eat Demai, you wouldn't be. They just argue not about Sukkah. That's just an side effect. They argue about Demai, as it says in the Mishnah, in the beginning of the third paragraph of Demai, Machilus Aniyim Demai, Yes Achsanya Demai. You can feed poor people and Achsanya Demai. Okay, so we don't have the full quote of the hold on, Demai used to be in Shas, and it still is. Yeah, that rule of Chazaka always works for you. Machilin sa aniyim Demai v'es ha'achsanya Demai. Okay. Here we are. It's not in the Mishnah Demai, I apologize, it's a Braisa, but Machilus Anim Dvai Yisachsanya Demai, Tana Beishamei Omrim, Ein Machilus Anim Yisachsanya Demai. Okay, I apologize, the Mishnah Demai does not say Sachlut Vizol Mishamei, but the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin, Amin Aleph, says Tana Beishamei says you're not Machil Anim Demai. Okay, so the Pashup Shad is here, that Beis Hillel says you can feed Anim Demai, and therefore it's Chazilei. Beishamei says you can't feed Anim and Achsanya. It's right here also. Why am I going to Brachos? Amar Rav Huna, losing my mind. Tana Beis Shammai Omer, Ein Machilus Anim Yisachsani Dmai, Beis Hillel Machilus Anim Yisachsani Dmai. Okay, it's right here. The Bryce is here. That's why I was confused. The Beis Hillel says you feed Anim Dmai, Beis Shammai says you don't. Fine, wonderful. What we have to just figure out here is, first Tosos points out a bit of a machlokes in the Yerushalmi. Says the Yerushalmi, Machilus Anim Dmai Yisachsani Dmai, Mishver Gimel Dmai, you pleading word Yerushalmi, Yonah Rabbanim Chaverin, Uvachsani Kabishut, and Farsh Hassam, Shehain Yisrael. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbanim Amiyaritzi, Vachsanya Nachri. Okay, there's machlokes at this heter of Anim. Rabbi Yonah says, what kind of Anim do you feed Dmai? Only Anim Hor Chaverim, meaning who will be mafresh from the Dmai. In which case, it's not actually mutter for Anim to eat Dmai. No, it's also for Anim to eat Dmai. The only heter is that if you're rich and I give you or sell you Demai, I have to be mafresh. Why? Because there's a rule, a chaver is not allowed to motzi mitachas yado davar she'eino matukan. So the kula of aniyim for Ben Yonah is a very small kula. For ashirim, I can't let it out of my hands without being mafresh, regardless. For aniyim, as long as you're trustworthy, I can tell you to be mafresh. It's a very small kula, no one's allowed to eat it. It's just a very small kula that I can give it to you and rely on you to be mafresh. Why do they make that small kula? Because, you know, for the aniyim, to tell the usher he has to give away his food and has to be matriach himself to be mafresh first, you know, maybe it'll dissuade him a little, and therefore, it's okay, he's giving away free food, it's okay for him to put the burden of being mafresh on the ani, they wanted to help the aniyim. Okay, that clearly does not match the bottom. So according to Rabbi Yonah, then there is no heter for poor people to eat Demai. Even Maris Mafra and Nechasim, I couldn't eat Demai. The heter is only to let someone else be Mafresh instead of me. Obviously, the Bavli fits with Rabbi Yossi, who says, V'aniyim amei ha'aretz. No, even in aniyim ha'aretz, I am allowed to give Demai to. The am ha'aretz. Stoma will not be Mafresh, right? Amaratzim, we're not Makbet to be Mafresh from Demai. They're the ones who are not Makbet to be Mafresh, which is the reason it's Demai in the first place.
But don't you stop it.
Okay, so here you get into a machlokes, sort of, what is the heter of aniyim? So Rabbi Yonah says that really, there's no, it's only a very small heter lahotzi mitachas yado, and only if you are sure that the ani will be mafresh. Right? So it's a very, very tiny heter. Again, it might be useful for the aniyim. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's mutter even to give an am ha'aretz d'vai. Now, here, it's not 100% clear. excuse me, sorry. here, it's not 100% clear what is the heter then. Is it mutter for the ani to eat it, or just mutter for you to be potentially machshel him? So here, you could take Rabbi Yossi in two ways. You could say it means, no, it's only a heter lahotzi mitachas yado, even if ani might be nechshol, it's a heter to be machshel the ani. But ani is chayav to be mafresh. Right, you could interpret Rabbi Yossi. No, Rabbi Yossi holds there's no heter to eat demai, just a heter to give demai to the ani am haaretz, even though you're possibly machshel him. But it's okay, it's a heter to be machshel him, but he's not allowed to eat it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says you should tell him it's demai. You can give it to the ani am haaretz and say it's demai be mafresh. Oh, he might listen to you, he might not. It's a heter to be suffik machshel him. But there's no heter for aniyim to actually eat demai. However, the Meforshim will assume the Rambam and the Rash and most Meforshim, right? Assume no. Say the Rambam and the Rash on the Mishnah there, and most other Meforshim. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if almost all Meforshim, if not all Meforshim, hold this. The Rambam and the Rash say no. They say no. It's a heter gomer for the ani to eat demai. That's why it says even ani am haaretz. It's a heter gomer for ani to eat demai. Aniim are exempt from demai, and therefore it doesn't matter. And why do you have to tell him it's demai? So they say you only have to tell him it's demai so that he shouldn't, that an usher shouldn't buy it from him and eat it. You know, you tell him it's demai, that he should know that, like, if anyone's listening, if there's an usher, the rich person shouldn't, like, ask him for a bite. But really, it's heter gomer. The Bavli obviously holds, like, and why do the Rambam and the Rash say this shot in Rabbi Yossi? Probably because they want someone to be with the Bavli, right? The Bavli clearly holds, because the Bavli assumes it's taka heter for the uneedy demai. So the Bavli clearly holds, like Rabbi Yossi, and like the Rambam and the Rash's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi.
According to Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi, it's a situation where it's possible to be mafrish on this thing. I thought maybe it wasn't. If so, why do you have to come to this business if he can make himself an ani? Why can't you just say he should be mafrish?
Sorry. Why not just say he could be mafrish?
So, it's possible. Obviously.
You're just asking me to repeat yesterday's shir, or the last shir, right? So I will repeat it in shortened form. Why not just say he could be mafresh? Because according to the Ramban in Hilchos Lulav, we're not actually talking about demai here. We're talking about trumas meiser of demai, and there's no way to fix it. Like, you're already mafresh, and this is the truma. According to everyone else, we're talking about literal demai. So why not just say be mafresh according to Tosos? Because if you were mafresh, you'd have to give part to the Kohen Levi, and then it wouldn't be yours.
But that, no. But they're saying, that's why I said it. That's why I understood that. But Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi are talking about a case where you can be mafresh. They're saying you can be, the Ani can be mafresh this.
No, he can be mafresh.
You can be mafresh, you can be mafresh.
No, he can be mafresh and only eat 99% of the fruit instead of 100%. No. You give the Ani an apple, he could be mafresh, but then he'd have to not eat part of the fruit.
We're
but an esrog, you don't eat part of the esrog.
We're talking about an esrog here.
No, they're talking about eating the Ani. They're talking about poor people having dinner.
But,
no, but the point is, the poor people having dinner could be mafresh, but they lose a little of their dinner to the kohen. The problem in esrog, if you lose a little of your kohen to the esrog, it's an esrog shel shufas, it's a problem. That's Tosfos.
But aren't here we're talking about the whole reason he can use the esrog is because he could have given this esrog to an ani who could be mafresh.
Ah, I see what you're saying. No, but the Bavli doesn't agree with this. The Bavli agrees with this. Sorry, now I understand your question. That's why I said the Bavli can't agree with them. Okay. The question, yes.
According to the Rav and the Rush, can the Anig give Heva invited Asher to eat by him and eat that food without him?
No. And that's exactly why we have to tell him it's Demai, not to tell him to be Mafresh, to warn him not to share it with an Asher. And even if he's an Amal Aretz, at least to announce it so that the rumors will spread to the Asher.
If his family can eat it.
His family's all poor.
Because they're
Anim. I mean, some of the whole family's Anim. You know, what if the wife's an Anim, the husband's an Asher, then they need counseling. Okay.
What about
the other way? Then they also need counseling. Fine. Now, the one thing I want to deal with is what does Achsanai mean? And here we have a fundamental machlokes Rishonim, what an Achsanai is. What does Rashi say Achsanai is? Right, the Yerushalmi doesn't necessarily help. Right? The Yerushalmi helps a little. In Rabbi Yonah, it seems like the Achsanai is an Achsanai chaver. Okay, Seder. But how about in Rabbi Yossi? Because remember, the Bavli has to follow Rabbi Yossi. He says Achsanai goy. We still don't know what Achsanai means, but he's a goy. Okay, so is an Achsanai goy? Is an Achsanai Jew? Why is that significant? And what does Achsanai mean? So what's the fundamental machlok we've shown him what Achsanai means? What does Rashi say Achsanai means? It means soldiers. Right, remember, which amendment is it? Right?
Not the new quartering.
Right. No, no one knows their Bill of Rights? Okay. Neither do I.
We have that right. We live here.
The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights definitely does not apply in Medina Yisrael. That's for sure. Okay. Some of them, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know. A little both. I don't know. We definitely don't have that Bill of Rights here, right? But one of the things in the Bill of Rights is that you can't quarter troops in people's houses against their will during peacetime. Which means that, obviously, until the Bill of Rights, right, the minhag was you could quarter troops in people's houses, and we know, right, we know from the beginning of Pesachim, right, but you would come here to Nechil, etc. Then in the old days, the minhag was the king would just go to a town and say, okay, everyone has to house and feed the troops. And it wasn't the most fun thing in the world. A, I'm sure it wasn't fun having the troops coming through your house, and B, again, we're talking about a subsistence society. People couldn't afford to feed the troops. They could barely afford, remember, it's not like nowadays. In the old days, people worked to get enough bread to feed their family. How are they also going to feed the soldiers? Okay, well, the soldiers have swords and they don't, so they somehow have to work it out. But it was a tremendous, tremendous dechak, right? It was very, very difficult, a tremendous shasad chak, and sort of this unfair shasad chak. So they made a kula for the soldiers, you can use demai in order to make it easier in this terrible shasad chak. Okay. That is what Rashi assumes. However, who gives a different shot in Achsanai? Says Achsanai. Says Rashi. Says Chayalim. I think he meant to say Chayalot, but he doesn't mean Gius Banot. That was just a grammatical oddity. We say Chayalim in modern day Hebrew.
What's the issue of giving a going to though?
Aha, great question. What is the Isser of giving a goy tevel? After all, a goy is takalani tevel, right? What's the Isser of giving a goy tevel? So, here, it's not 100% clear what the Isser of giving a goy tevel is. You might say it's an Isser of, and here I'm not sure, because I know what 1% on this Bekor sheet says. You might say it's an Isser of Mishmeres Trumosai. Tevel has Trumos in it. And
but it's not actualized. Aha.
Who says a goy?
What?
Who says they're
goyim? Correct, but men hastam they're goyim. Meaning, in the days of the Mishnah, I don't know how
Rashi
many.
Rashi says in Erevin.
No, they came and picked up.
What?
Rashi says that they're Yisraelim.
What does Rashi say in Erevin? Can I see it? Chel haba lemelech Yisrael. Okay, look at that. Okay. Oh, look at that. Okay, so here you could say. One of two pshatim. What is the heter of? What is the isser? The isser could be two things. A, if you're feeding to goya, maybe it's an isser of shemesh trumosai. Not so clear. B, there's an isser lefroachov here. The Ra'ah denies this, but you're not allowed to pay a chov betevel. You can't pay your debts with tevel before being mafresh. Meaning you have to pay after taxes, not before taxes. So therefore, here you're being poreachovo betevel. You owe it to the king. You might not be happy, but you owe it to the king, right? There's no Bill of Rights then. You owe it to the king. And you're not allowed to pay your debts with tevel before being mafresh. That's probably the main reason.
That's the second reason, and that's because it's a Kohen's money. You're taking away.
Okay, great. Who says that?
You say, quote here from the second answer in Tosfot, Birusha Mashini. Tosfot some brachas.
I happen to have it open. You see, it was all Menashe Mayim that I opened it by accident. Machilas Amayir be. Vinami ba'achsanya shal nachrim. Right, because of Porechov. Okay, meaning Tevel not because of Porechov, but there were Mekel in this case. So what's the heter? Right, Rashi and Tosfos in Tosfos has two deos, but Tosfos and Brachos in his second dea, and we could find many others who say, right, Tosfos and Brachos dea bet. And what's the reason? What's the reason they were matter for soldiers? So the simple reason is, what's the svara? Either you could say dechak. After all, it's very hard to feed the soldiers. Or, as Rashi and Irvin says, where's this Rashi and Irvin? Here we are. In Irvin Yud Zayin Amud Beis, he says. In Brachos. Rashi and Brachos, they were also in Mem Zayin and Aleph, says, Chel Shal Varehem Kahaniyim Lefishem Shalobim Kolmon. Okay, he doesn't say, but Mestama says, Rashi in Brachos, because the Chayalim are Kahaniyim, meaning, Lechor, it's Jewish Chayalim. Otherwise, not our problem with their aniyim, right? And that's why this Musaf Rashi puts it together with Rashi's Jewish Chayalim. And that would be Alamai Yerushalmi, right? And then it would be Chayalim Yisraelim. Okay, either because the poor soldiers, meaning it's never for us, it's never for them also. Keep in mind, they also didn't volunteer for the army, right? They were drafted. Now they also do that in most countries. So these poor Chayalim, they were drafted and taken away from their families, and they weren't given anything to eat, so they're poor. Or because we're poor, because we have to support the Chayalim. The other, of course, what does the Rambam and the Meir say Achsanai means? Exactly. It means Orchim. Hachnasas Orchim. Right, it means guests. Now, keep in mind what Hachnasas Orchim means. Let me tell you my little pet peeve. I'm all in favor of the Hachdol Reacha Kamoch and Jews getting along. But these Uncle Moishe songs were like, if I invite my friend over. In general, it's a chazak that all Uncle Moishe songs are halachically wrong. I don't mean hashkafically wrong. It's not that he has some terrible agenda to go against the philosophy of the halachic system. It's just that he got all the details wrong. And some of them perhaps dangerously so. Right? Big Gedalia Gumber. Paskins in almost every stanza that Pikuach Nefesh Nato Chashavis, if you recall from your youth. Right? No one listened to Big Gedalia Gumber? What happened? Big Gedalia Gumber, right? He was on safari in Africa. Right? And lions came on Shabbos. And my assistant held my rifle, go goomber shoot those pests. But I invited them instead to be my Shabbos guests. Right? He didn't shoot the lions on Shabbos because of the Chol Shabbos. And Hashem's nicer than me. If I were in the world, the lions would have eaten them to teach them a lesson.
Maybe you told them as well. They're going to Kuya if you can invite them to get away.
Yeah, okay. You true. Next time you have lions, invite them in for Shabbos and see how that works. There are other ones also. Okay. Anyway, Kitzer. So this is one of the many things, right? If you invite your friend for Shabbos, that's Achlas Zorchim. That's not Achlas Zorchim. Achlas Zorchim doesn't mean inviting guests. Orech is from, what's the root word of Orech? An Orech is a road, a path, right? Over Orech. It means inviting wayfarers, right? Once upon a time when there were no cell phones and no credit cards. And if someone was traveling, then they had no resources whatsoever. And how did you not die when you're traveling? Because nice people invited you in. And if you're a Yid, you help that other nice Yidden would invite you in. Even if you weren't a Yid, Avraham Avinu would invite you in. So that's Achnos Orchim. Achnos Orchim is a big mitzvah, because otherwise, Achnos Orchim is sort of, it's less shayach b'zman hazeh. Like, wherever I go, I probably call to make plans in advance, or I booked a hotel room, or, I could go to a restaurant, or order meals or something. So it's hard to be mekayim Achnos Orchim b'zman hazeh. Sometimes you have people who are very poor, and have to travel someplace, not for pleasure or business,
But b'shas atzak have to travel someplace, and mamish can't afford a hotel and can't afford a restaurant. Okay, then you could do real achnasas orchim, where someone is mamish stuck. You know, their airplane got delayed and they're stuck on Shabbos in a strange place. Okay, but it's hard to chak real achnasas orchim nowadays. Achnasas orchim is a big deal. That's what achsai means. It doesn't mean inviting guests, obviously. It means achnasas orchim. So says, and that's why they're called orchim. Says the Rambam and the Meiri and Tosos and Brachos. In his first opinion, that it means Orchem. Then the question just becomes, so why would they make go for Orchem? So, the simple shot is, why would they make go for Orchem?
To make it easier on.
To make it easier on?
The person
who says that?
Rambam.
The Rambam says the Rambam Peirush Mishnayos. Svara says the Rambam in the Peirush HaMishnah, right? V'hakel al balabayis Likayim mitzvah chashuva, and says the Meiri here, because the oreach is like an oni, because maybe he's rich, but he can't bring all his money with him, and he can't bring his resources with him in the old days, and therefore, right now, he's poor b'asher husham. Okay, the Ram and the Meiri are very similar, they're just flip sides of the same thing. After all, why is achnas orchim such a big mitzvah? Because the guy doesn't have his own resources. So it's just like, it's really the same idea. Because it's so necessary for the Baal Bayis to invite in the Oreach, they were makel to make it easier. Just with a kula like chal on the Oreach or chal on the Baal Bayis is a subtle distinction between the Rambam and the Meiri. Although, in the end, it's obviously chal on both of them. The Baal Bayis is allowed to feed it, and the Oreach is allowed to eat it. So it's a very subtle distinction. These are very, very similar. The Gra says a big chiddush. Says the Gra a tremendous chiddush. And as a matter of fact, the Gra Taka says this is not true. You're not allowed to feed Orchim to Mayim. He says, what's the case of Orchim? And he goes back to the Yerushalmi. He says that Achsanai is Goyish Orchim. Achsanya Nochri. Why Achsanya Nochri? Why did it say Davka Achsanya Nochri? Rabbi Yossi says in Yerushalmi. Why not a Yiddish Achsanya? Why only Achsanya Nochri? Why not a Jewish Achsanya? That's not so clear. Why not a Jewish Achsanya? So,
you're going to give your guest
different food
than
maybe. In those days you probably would. Okay.
There is a chance that it could be.
Okay, Afshar. Afshar. Says the Gra, he says, no, I'll be the Yerushalmi. Davka Oreach Nachri, the low Oreach Yisrael. Of course, that makes it more mystifying. Why Davka? Adrami, you think Davka Jewish Oreach and not a Goyish Oreach. Why Davka Goyish Oreach, not a Jewish Oreach? So says the Gra, because there is no heter. So why is it more to do with Goyish Oreach? Because when you give a Goyish Oreach, you're not being Poreachov. You're not obligated to invite in the Goyish Oreach. Since you're not obligated, you're just giving away for free. You're allowed to give away Demai for free. You're only not allowed to, you pay it, your obligations with Demai. A Jewish Oreach is an obligation to invite. And you're not allowed to fulfill your obligations with Demai without being mafresh. A Goyish Oreach is just a free gift. So a free gift you're allowed to do from Demai. So he says a totally different heter. It's not a heter, but a lack of Isser in the first place. Why is there a lack of Isser in the first place? Because, hoel, v'ein chiyov lehazmin oreach goy, eino poreachovo midemai. And that's the chiddush of the Gra. You're allowed to give away demai, just not fulfill an obligation. It's an obligation to invite a Jewish guest, but it's not an obligation to invite a Goyish guest. And therefore, that is the big chiddush of the Gra. Okay, so this Rabbi Yossi says Oreach Goy. Why does he say Oreach Goy? Either maybe Mitzad HaKlosos Orchem Oreach Goy like the Gra. Not because it was a Kula, but because there's no Isser in the first place because you're not obligated to invite him. Or, if you want, you could say, and this is what many Achronim say, if you just look, and then we'll the Rosh Tzir Elul and the Pnei Moshe in Demai, many Achronim say, no, he meant Goyish soldiers. What do you mean? Jewish soldiers, you wouldn't feed Demai. because Jewish soldiers are not so poor. But Jewish soldiers you wouldn't feed Demai. And why wouldn't you feed Demai to Jewish soldiers? L'chora, the answer is because, no, a Jew should take care of the other Jewish soldiers without any coolness. But a Goyish soldier, that's a tough burden. Have to feed the Goyish soldiers a tough burden. And therefore, you're allowed to feed them Demai. Or maybe because it's not such a, you know, a Jewish soldier, you're being machshel, a guy, you're not being machshel. So, the svara is the chak, and then it would be chayilim yisrael lim, and if the svara is the chak, then maybe rak chayilim nachrim, that is Rabbi Yossi in the Yerushalmi, according to, we'll just say the Pei Moshe, who's in the standard ones, all the Rosh Hashanah says the same thing. Okay, so we're not sure if it's Jewish or Goyish, we're not sure if it means a guest or a soldier. We have basically four or five possibilities here. Again, it could mean a soldier because of the dechak, and then maybe they're only matter for Goyim, but for Jews you should feed them kosher. Or they could mean a soldier because he's poor, and then it would be probably Dafka, a Jewish soldier, not like the Rishalmi. Or they might have been a guest, and they might have meant a Jewish guest, because the big mitzvah, Achnasas Orchem, that would be the Rambam and the Meiri. Or they might have meant Dafka, a Goyish guest, because this clever pshat of the Gra, that it's not a kula, just there's no Isra in the first place to give it to someone who you're not obligated to give to, and you're not obligated to invite a Goyish guest. Okay, so that's a little bit of Sanya.
Is there a third possibility in Rav Yossi, that Rav Yossi could say that the Oni, I mean, not that he might be Nitzal, or not that they have the Gomer, but he it's a mitzvah in a Mufchar for the Oni to be Mafi.
Yes, a lot of poskim assume that the, even according, I just put that in as an asterisk here. It's totally mutter. It's still a midas chasidus for the Oni to be Mafish.
So that's the,
but it's still a heter.
But that would be the machlokes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Now, continuing in the Gemara, Shalmai Shem Yerushalayim, Ma'an Namim Neshav Shira, Ma'an Shira, Ma'an Namim Neshav Sida, Arishim of Sida. Okay, it's a big, a bit of a chiddush that this Isser of Mishmeris of Hefsid and Heksher applies even to Ma'an Shosheni, but it's not such a big chiddush, because after all, Ma'an Shosheni is called Kodesh, so you might think you have to relate to it like Hekdesh. And apparently you do. We already analyzed that. Also, Chazazis. Now we leave the status psulim of Esrogim and get on to the physical blemishes of Esrogim. The first one is Chazazis. What is a Chazazis is not 100% clear. It seems to be. No. We're good. This isn't. It seems to be that. That a chazazis is some sort of fungus or boil, some sort of skin disease of the esrog, and even most of the poskim say it is raised. So it is not just a discoloration, but some sort of growth on the esrog, which is clearly unsightly. Says the Gemara, Amar of Chesed, Darvus Arabinu, Gadol Amar, Hamakom Yiv Ezro, Lo Shanol Makom Echad, Shnayim Shloshim Makomos Kasher. Okay. This is what Rabbeinu Gadol, which might mean Rav, said, and Hashem should help him. It's unclear why all of a sudden here he says Hashem should help him. Maybe because, one second. Not sure. But in the Havmin, I understand, because it's a very strange thing to say. The Maskan, I'm not sure I do. But in two or three places, okay. Two or three cases, like Menumar, it's like spotted. And that's worse, right? The Bryson Lam of an Aleph, when it summarized all the physical blemishes of Esrog that are Puzzle, says Menumar. So that's like Menumar. And it's worse. Ella, what must you say? Yitmar, Seif Yitmar, Omi Uto Kasher, Amar Chista, Dabrz, Rabin, Gadol, Omer, Makam, Yeb, Ezra, Lo, Shano, Ella, Makam, Echad. Lo, Shano, Shos, Makam, Sablikim, Numar, U, Pasel. Okay. If it's one Chazazis, if it's on a minority, it's Mutter. If it's on a majority, it's Usser, or Pasel. If it's two or three spots, then even on a minority is still Pasel, because it is like Menumar. Spotted is worse. And then Amar of Yachot, Mafilo, Masher, Nami, Pasel. On the Chotem, even, what is a chotem literally? Nose. Right? On the nose, we're not sure where the nose is, meaning Esrogim don't breathe. On the nose, even a mach is possible, it's more chomer. Okay, so first of all, let's just figure out. I can't claim that I really have descended to the proper depths of all the lumdas here, which I admit is very subtle, but let's at least on some level try to understand what's going on. First of all, why is Chazazis puzzle? It seems obvious to us. Why is Chazazis puzzle? Why is Chazazis puzzle? Because, like, which word in the pasuk makes Chazazis puzzle? Hadar. Seems to be not Hadar. Basically, everyone says it's not Hadar. That seems to be the pasuk pshat. Tosus then comes up with a problem. Right? So, Sibat Sol Chazazis is, you know, all the Mepharshim say, Hadar. Yeah, it's clearly not Hadar if it has a Chazazis. Tosos then has a problem, which he says very succinctly here in a greater length on Daf Chav Tes on the base. I hope we found the Tosos. I think I might have been off by an Ovid. But it shouldn't have been that hard to find. He says, Mashba B'Yushalmi Mashba Ketzas. I don't know, when I read Yushalmi, it's a little more than Ketzas. So it's a bit of a mystery to me why it's only Mashba Ketzas in Yushalmi. It's very Mefurish. What does Yushalmi say? The Yom Tov Davka Mifso. That the Rishonim says, "Kol apsulim ein poslim el b'yom tov rishon."
Maybe it's only because of the fishma.
So, I don't. It's not clear why Mashma Ketzas. The truth is, in the Tosfos Rush and Tosfos Peretz, it doesn't say Ketzas. Just so that's what it says in the Rishonim. The only thing I could think of is that maybe in the Rishonim, it's not always clear what line in the Mishnah every Maimer is going on. Now, even though it seems pretty clear this Maimer is going on Chazazis, because it's right before another detail of Chazazis, right after the last thing. But maybe you could have interpreted the Yerushalmi B'dochek saying, no, he was talking about a different Mishnah. Maybe he was talking about the previous Mishnah, not this Mishnah. So, I mean, in our Yerushalmi is printed after the Mishnah Chazazis, but the original Yerushalmi wasn't printed that way. So maybe B'dochek, you would have said he's referring to some other set of psulim. But the pasuk shot is that he's talking about Chazazis is only possible one day. What's the problem, of course? Tosos, Chazarek, Nachot, Tezim Beis, Tosos assumes that Sulei Hadar are possible 7 days. Because, I mean, that's not Tosos' assumption. That a Mefurish Gemara comes test on the base. Other people get out of the Mefurish Gemara. It does say Mefurish, right? It says, the Kapasik Matani, this puzzle all 7 days, Bishlama Yavish, the Bino Hadar Baleka. Whatever's not Hadar is puzzle 7 days. So, you know, well, Tosos' sheet is just a shot of a line of Gemara. So, here we have the problem. The problem is, why does the Rishalmi, right? Kasha, Lama, Kasher b'yontif sheni lefi the Yerushalmi. Now, according to the Rambam and others, that's fine, because they don't paskin like Tosos. Lefi Tosos l'shitasan. So, there are basically two answers. Tosos and Chavtesim and Beis wants to suggest maybe, the psul of Chazazis is not because of Hadar, it's because of Chaser. Why? Because whatever part Chazazis grew on is not properly there in its proper form. So it is missing the proper form of that part of the of the skin of the esrog. So says Tosfos on Chav Tesim and Beis that the psul is mitam chaser. And then Tosfos says, but that's crazy dachuk. It can't really be. Why is this crazy dachuk? Besides the fact it's a funny svara. But why is it crazy dachuk? Why can't you say that the psul of Chazazis is because of Chaser and not because of Hadar? The Rush, I think, explicates this. Why is it really impossible to say it's a psul of Chaser? You say, oh, it's a fancy svara. The part that has Chazazis is not there in its proper form, so it's Chaser. Even if you can swallow that svara, what's the problem? If the psul is Chaser, then why?
There was a difference where it is.
Why is there a difference where there's one spot or two spots or on the Chotem or the rest of it? Chaser is Chaser, right? Like, why is the Chotem more Chomer if it's Chaser? We never heard the Chisarin is different if it's a Chotem anywhere
sense,
else.
Because you're looking at it.
Exactly. Hadar makes sense. That's what you see. So therefore, but this is Dachuk. So what does the Rush and the Tosos Rush say? The Rush and Tosos says, we'll have to be Malmodem Mitzas, that the Rishalmi Savar Kerambam, the old Rishonim, right? The Rishalmi holds like the other Rishonim against Tosos. Dipsule Hadar Sheirim b'yontif sheni. After all, Tosos doesn't have to say all Amorim think so. It's enough to say the Babli think so. Okay, so the pashut shot is not that the Yerushalmi thinks that's mitam chaser. That's too crazy. The pashut shot is the Yerushalmi thinks psulei hadar sheirim b'yontif sheni. Okay, the Rambam and others and the Mechaber think the Babli thinks that also. And Tosos, going down to the Rambam, halacha maisa, thinks the Babli doesn't agree with that, but the Yerushalmi can agree with it. Fine. So that's the reason.
You know, like the writer too, that there are different levels of Hadar.
Okay.
That this is so disgusting, it's possible for like Lo Amin Simeon.
Correct. Or the Meiri, yes. Okay, you could.
Now, let's just briefly discuss some of these issues. Two or three spots is menumer. Here we have a few machlokas shonim on this halacha of two or three spots being menumer. The main machlokas is just in the fascinating machlokas about menumer. The Ritva brings down two opinions about menumer. What if I have an esrog that is striped, speckled, and spotted, yellow, and light green? Is that a psul menumer or not? Right? It's like a leopard skin, but the color's yellow and light green. So is that a psul menumer or not? So, as Yonatan correctly pointed out, that's generally a good guess in Gemara learning, that it is a machlokas. No, but Yonatan knew it. Here we have a machlokas. What about when it comes to the psul of menumer, we have a machlokas. What about menumer be maros ksheros? What about menumer? Not in chazazis or in what's called shinui mara. Shinui mara is not a phrase in the Gemara, but the Gemara does mention two colors that are problematic. Kushi, which is black, and lavam, which is white. The Gemara mentions it's problematic. So the poskim call that shinui mara. So what if you have menumer with shinui mara and with chazazis and a chanami? But what if you have menumer with a kosher colors? It looks a little weird because it is like striped, spotted, and speckled of yellow and light green. But yellow's okay. Light green's okay. So most Rishonim say that's okay. The Ravid says okay. And from the Ravid, the Ran and the Rush says it is okay. So say the Ravid, Rush, and Ran, I'm sure I'm missing someone also, say it is kosher. Meaning the problem in number is only if it's a puzzle color maneuver. The number of a kosher color is not a problem. The Ritva brings down two opinions and is not a Kriya. The Ritva says something like, maybe even Rabosai or something. Who knows? It's really from the Ravid in Hilchos Lulav, and from there to the Rush and Iran and other Rishonim. There are many other Rishonim who agree with the Ravid. The Ritva brings down two opinions about this. Says the Ritva, he says, Daiki Rabbanan Zal. The Ravid says only if they're puzzle colors, like Lovan and Kushi, and Yor Kikarti. But the number of kosher colors is kosher. V'yesha postum kol inyan migol pirish. And some people say it's always puzzle, because the Gemara doesn't distinguish. Who are the some people who say it's always puzzle? Hard to know for sure. Who are the some people who the Ritva says puzzle? It could be people who didn't write Pirush that we have. But the Ra'ah sounds like that. Right? The Ritva starts by putting Lashon in the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says Benumer. He says Benumer means Gvanim Harbe, many shades. Again, I think it's pretty... It's not Mefurish, but it's pretty close. If he meant many shades of certain problematic colors, he should have said so. He just said many shades. So it sounds like... So definitely the Ra'ah sounds like... You know, certainly the Mashmavos of the Ra'ah... is that it is possible. Okay, so here we have a machlokas. Here, I'm not sure, you know, in all these things, it's a little hard to tell. And maybe you could help me out if you have some ideas. Is this a lundish machlokas? Is it just a technical machlokas? You could say it's just a technical machlokas. Menumer is ugly. I apologize. I get confused. Menumer is ugly. They just argue what's ugly. Is only certain colors ugly or other colors ugly? You know, when it comes to arguments about aesthetics, it's very hard to bring proofs one way or the other. Or maybe you could say they have some lundish machlokas. Is menumar a new psol? Or is menumar an extension of a pre-existing psol? The Ra'ah holds is a new psol called menumar. Anything striped and speckled and spotted is puzzle because it looks bad. And the Ravid and the Rush and the Raman say, no. There's no psul of menumer. Menumer is just an extension of a different psul. If there's a psul of chazazis, only a big chazazis. But menumer counts as big. If there's a psul of lavan, only a big lavan. But menumer counts as big. If there's a psul of kushi, only a big kushi. But menumer counts as big. So it could be that they're having a hakira here, right? Maybe. Maybe there's a hakira here. Menumer is an independent psul, or
Numar is a is just a measure of the seriousness of some other psul, right? Is a
extension.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is a I don't mean extension. What I mean is is a detail, let's say, of other psulim. What's the detail of other psulim? The detail of other psulim is that minomer is like rove. Right? Psulim are only possible if it's rove that way, but minomer also counts as rove. But it's not its own psul. And then the nafkamina would be, here you would have the ra'ah, and here you would have the ravid, the rush, and the Ran. Again, I'm not promising. You could say it's a new psul. They just argue about aesthetics. But it could be they're arguing about this hakira.
Could you say that between the die for who the other day could be? Couldn't it be Rashi? The Rashi holds it possible. Because Rashi says earlier, and a couple times in the die, he says that any Shino and Mara is already considered something as a lack of Mandar. And especially because in the upcoming Sukkot with Nikola, Rashi called that the Numar. And we know that that red color is clearly a kosher color, because the whole thing is Nikola, and it's kosher.
Okay, that is a good point. Maybe the Oser can be Rashi, because what does Rashi say later on? And this Rashi is a big Kiddush later on for another reason. When it comes to Niklaf, right, I give you the Rashi to summarize this. The Gemara's Mechalik between Niklaf, if the very outer layer is peeled, like the very, very thin outer layer, not what you think of the outer layer, probably, but some very thin outer layer is peeled off, then there's a difference between Mitzas and Kulos. So most Rishonim say, if it's partially peeled off, then it's not going to kill the Esrog, it's not so bad. If it's totally peeled off, it's going to kill the Esrog, it's really bad. Okay, the more damage to the Esrog. Rashi says, no, if it's totally peeled off, it's one color, so it's okay. If it's partially peeled off, it's two colors, so it's a problem of Menumar. This is a big Kiddush of Rashi, even though partially peeled off might only have one area this color and one area that color, not two or three. He still thinks that's called Menumar if it's due to peeling. Now, of course, what's the case? It can't be that you peeled off and created a pustle color. Because then if you peeled it all off, it would be pustle. Must be you peeled it off and created a different shade of kosher color. Right? This before peeling was a kosher color. After peeling was a kosher color. If you didn't peel it, it's kosher. If you peeled it all, it's kosher. They're both kosher colors. But if it's half one kosher color, half another kosher color, then it's pustle. So, Cheski is suggesting maybe that's who the Ritva had in mind. Again, Rashi goes further than this. Not only does it say two kosher colors is a psul menumer, he even says, if there's only one area of each, that's a psul menumer, which is a chiddush, in certain cases, but I think you're absolutely right. Rashi, the sugya niklaf, also says pasul, and therefore maybe that's who the Ritva referred to. Okay, we can't know what the Ritva had in mind, but quite possibly, good. It definitely belongs on the board. Okay, Viter. Now, there's another machlokas here about Menumar, which is interesting, which, if you think it's tied to the Sakira, you could tell me. I was not sure that it did, but there's very no Gela Maisa. Agav, Halach Lamaisa, all the poskim assume like the Ravid, not like the other opinion, whoever that might be. Another interesting machlokas is, what about Menumar? Chazazis begays the gimel mekomos she that's a little hard for it shenechnasos letoch miyo ta esrog. After all, here you have this very funny thing, right? If you think about it, here's your esrog. If you have a chazazis like this, that's okay. It's only on the miut, right? But if you have a chazazis like this, which is less than that, then it's pasul. There's two or three places. So that's a funny thing. Is that pasul or not? So here, this is a fundamental machlokes. Most poskim say that taka that's kasher. It's only problem with the menumer is on rove of the esrog. Here, even if you take the whole nimur, just like make a box around the nimur, say that's how much is menumer, or chazazis, and then it's no problem. That is the opinion of the Ravid, the Rush, the Ran, and others. Right? the Ravid, the Rush, the Ran, and others say kosher. Who says pasul? The Ritzkias. Right? The Ritzkias, who's quoted. I mean, we have a copy of the Ritzkias in our base medrash nowadays. But the Ritzkias, if you ever want to look for it on the shelf, don't look for the word Ritzkias. Look for the word Shari Simcha. That's what it's called. But the Ritzkias, one of the earlier Rishonim, the Ritzkias is quoted in the Torah, and you don't have to open the Torah. The Shilpi Giburim usually does a good job of quoting all the Torahs that are not, who quotes Rishonim that are not already found someplace in the back of the Gemara. He says it is puzzle. Okay, so here we have Machlokes in the Ritzkias, and the most of the Rishonim. Halach l'mais, in this case, Shulchan Aruch brings out both deos. The achronim are machria, like the Ravid against the Ritzkias. Machaber is not machri, he brings on two deos, but the Mishnah brings down the achronim are maker, like the Ravid against the Ritzkias here. However, the Magen Avraham throws in a monkey wrench here. Halach l'maisa. This is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins. The Magen Avraham throws in a monkey wrench here. And this is Halach l'maisa, Magen Avraham uposkin. Kosher b'miyot hekefo pasol b'rov hekefo. What does the Magen Avraham Poskim say? Say, you're right. We pass like the Ravid. If it's on the miyot, it is okay. But unlike one spot, which if it's on the miyot of the surface area is kosher, and rove surface area is pasul, when it comes to two or three spots, if it's on the miyot of the circumference, it is kosher. But the rove of the circumference is kosher. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that, I don't think I can draw this, because I definitely don't know how to draw three dimensions. Anyone have a cup that they don't need? Two cups would be even better. Okay. What they mean is this. Is that if there's one spot, let's say this. Okay, thank you. Great. If there's one spot, let's say it goes from here to here. It goes 75% around, right? Notice, it goes 75% around. Whatever angle you look at it, you can see it. It only doesn't go here. So how much of the esrog, the circumference of the esrog? Oh, 90% of the circumference. But how much of the surface area? I don't know, it's only 5% of the area. That's kosher. But if it's two or three spots, then what's the chiddush? If it's two or three spots, a few spots, and a few spots, and a few spots here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots. These spots, if you would draw the smaller circle around them, you would get that same kind of line. Now, it's a very, even with the space in between them, it's a minority of the surface area, but it's most of the way around, most of the circumference, heck of a circumference, and it is pasul. So that's a compromise, meaning we're machshir if those three spots are right next to each other in our miyot, but not if they're a rove in one dimension, even though they're not a rove in two dimensions.
So you mean if it's one continuous, like your first illustration?
If it's one continuous, even though it goes around most of the way, it's kosher.
That's kosher.
And this, which is the same thing in spots, is pasul.
Why?
I wish I knew. That is an excellent question. I wish I knew, or I wish any Achronim had interpreted the Magen Avraham differently than the way I just quoted the Magen Avraham. But I haven't found any. I mean, the way I quoted the Magen Avraham is, I looked on the page, who interprets the Magen Avraham? The Prima Gadim, and maybe there's even a little Shesrod here, and the Matzah Shekel, and the Mishnah Berurah, and Vechuli. Okay, that's an interesting compromise, the Magen Avraham. You have to figure out exactly, give me a second, to maybe try to figure out exactly what the, I'm not going to really figure out very well what the svar is. In any case, could you tie this into that chakira? I'm not sure. Do you want to say, well, if it's an independent psul, then even if it's only on a small area, it's still a manumer. But if it's just an extension of the original psul, and only if it extends it to rov, I'm not sure, because You could really say it's an independent soul, but only if most of it's Menumber. Or you could say it's an extension of the previous soul, but whatever has spots is as if it's the robe, even if the spots aren't on the robe, so I'm not sure. We'll leave the svaras to be figured out by someone smarter than me. But that's the halacha lemaisa. Okay, obviously, you know, there's room to be mahadir, not to be like the Maharshi, all these things, but I'm talking halacha lemaisa. I'm not talking what the yeshivish fellow would look for if he was in the shuk. Now the chotem. Let's briefly discuss chotem. Cheskia, I need your help. The main machlokas in chotem, and this is very nebe lemaisa, is what's a chotem? A chotem is a nose. We all know an esrog doesn't have a nose, which then makes it a challenge to figure out how to define a chotem. So, the, how many sheets are there in defining a chotem, anyone?
At least three.
I agree, at least three. I think there are four. In my humble opinion, I think you have to read Rishonim carefully. Okay, what is the way that we paskin? How do we paskin? I knew you were going to say that. And you're right about how we paskin, but I'm pretty sure you're wrong about Rashi. You're right that what you think Rashi said is how we paskin. But I'm really not convinced that that's what Rashi said. But we can both agree that we paskin like the Rush. I think. The says the Rush. What is a I think what is a chotem? Let's see if we can find the Lushan, and if we both agree with Pascal like the Rush, and then we'll decide if that's the opinion of Rashi or not. Says the chotmo. The what does he say? Shashipua kori chotem shemi ovi govo ad hapit mapsum chazal kaldu. The slanted part is a chotem. From the top where it begins to slant till the pitum is called a chotem. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That's the opinion of the Rush. He says it based on the Rishon of Ben Chanan. Maybe it's the Rishon of Ben Chanan, maybe it's not. It's clearly the opinion of the Rush and others. I'm not saying only the Rush. So here, let's just ask what a chotem means. So, according to the Rush, what is a chotem? Let's draw ourselves a little esrog. Okay, according to the Rush, the chotem is from when it starts to slope. Right? From when it starts sloping, go up is a chotem. That's a pretty big chumra, because it can be a third of the esrog. Right? And I don't think he means, like, from the widest point till it goes up. Like, you don't have to go and find the widest point. I think, like, there's a part where it's more or less straight. Maybe a little, you know, concave or convex. Which is it? Whatever it is. And then there's a part where it starts to really slope. From the part it starts to really slope, that's the chotem, and that's how we paskin. The Ritva says, is that what Rashi means? The Rush doesn't think that's what Rashi says. Let's read Rashi. Says Rashi, chotmo ba'ovi gavho, the width of its height, shemeshapem isham, that it slants from the earth, yorid the tzad rosho, and narrows to the top. Now, there are two ways to read Rashi. You could read Rashi like Rush. From the thickest part until it slams to the top is the chotem. And that's how you were reading Rashi. I'm not convinced. The Rush is also not convinced. The Rush says, I'm not saying Rashi. The Rush says, from Rashi it sounds like the slant is not the chotem. Rather, what's the chotem from Rashi? He doesn't say from the thickest part. I think Rashi says, may ovi govho, that from there it slants. It sounds like from there it slants. That's not the chotem. The chotem is the ovi govho. And I think Rashi's very meduyik, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Let me draw what I think Rashi means, and it's not just me. The Rush thinks Rashi means. Oh, there are others who agree with Aaron. Aaron's not alone. But what does Rashi sound like? He sounds like, if you draw your esrog, okay, it's a pretty awful esrog. Okay, what is the chotem? The chotem is the ovi govho. Is the, you know, I'm going to exaggerate a little. Right? Any of these are some esrog you saw in the sun this year, right? Here, for Rashi, what is the chotem? The chotem is the thick part. Not that slants upwards. The thick part before it slants upwards. Is that what it says in your book?
No.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Good. Why should that be called a chotem? Very simply. A chotem is a nose. Where's your nose?
In the middle of your face.
Yeah, it sticks out from the middle of your face. It's not the top of your head. Now, that's not a proof. Obviously, chotem is used metaphorically. But it makes a lot of sense. A chotem is the part that sticks out sideways from your face. Likewise, what sticks out sideways from the face of the Esro? The chotem. What do you notice in the Esro? Everyone says you notice the top. Who says you notice the top? You notice the side that's sticking out at you. Okay, that's what Rashi, the Rosh thinks at least, and I think Rashi means by chotem. If you want to say otherwise, you could. That's two pshatim and chotem. The Ritva says a slightly different pshat and chotem. Says the Ritva, also gova shetachas hanetz ke'en nezer. The high part that is under the what we call the pitim, like a crown. That is a chotem. Okay, you have a book, and you have a book and a masifta. All I have is my artistic skills, but all I have is my imagination. I have a little more faith in my artistic skills, a little less. But here, you have to hear what it means. What kind of crown is there under the pitam? But I think what he means is this. I should have brought in an esrog, but I don't have any fresh ones. And they don't sell them in the supermarket this time of the year in Israel. In other countries, they do. In other countries, they eat citrons all year long.
Bitter.
What?
Bitter.
So is a lemon.
That's more bitter.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe the someone told me in Greece, they always eat citrons. So maybe they're very bitter there. I don't know. The economy and everything. If my life savings were in drachmas, I would also be bitter. Says the Ritva. He says the crown under the. Now, you know, in some esrogim, there is like near the pitum, there's like a little ridge or something, which you could call a crown. I don't know. What does it say in your picture book? Oh, it probably doesn't have the Ritva.
No.
Okay, but let's draw it anyway. Here is the pitum.
Yeah, they call it the round, though. The way you describe it, isn't
it? Yeah, the Ran quotes the Ritva. He says, Acherim Amrim, so it's also quoted in the Ran, Beseder. I think what he means is that it's like this. It is like that part that's like the top that the Pitam comes out of. That is the. Now, you have to like. Play around with your second derivatives properly, or even third, in order to get this to work, right? I don't know. You don't do numbers. Chesky can give us the equations for this, right? I'm sure you can find a polynomial equation. Anyway, that's what it means. It means like not the whole slope, but like the top of the slope right before the pitum comes out. That's a bit of a crown. Again, sometimes it does create more of a little bit of a ridge. So maybe that's the important top part for him. The Rif Lashon is interesting, and the Rambam's Lashon is also interesting. What does the Rambam say? I mean, he says the same thing in the Perush Mishnayos and in the Mishnah Torah, if I understand correctly. But I'll just read his Lashon. His Lashon is, if you're ready. When it says nitel pitmasu, he says nitel dodo v'hu arosha katan shoshoshantobo. If you take off the dad, which is that little top part that the knob is on, that little flower is on, what we call the pitum, not the little knob on the pitum, but the stick of the pitum, that's pasul, that's nitel pitmasu. How does he explain chotem? Also chazaz zolav, etc. The imal dodo v'afil kol shu pasul. He translates chotem as dodo, and translates pitmasu as dodo. So he translates chotem and pitma as the same word. It really sounds like chotem means davka, only the pitum. The rach also sounds this way. The rach on Arsogya says nitla pitmaso, not on the chotem, but on the pitmaso. He says, what's pitmaso? Chotmo shel esro vishoshanto. The chotem and the shoshana. Okay, sounds like the stick part of the pitum.
is the Chotem. Sounds like, and that's where the Rambam would have got it from, that Chotem and Pitam are synonymous. And then he says later on, Dad Shel Chotem is a little more ambiguous. I mean, the Dad is the Chotem, or the Dad is part of the Chotem. But it's certainly, if you want to make the Rach consistent, it could sound that, no, it means all the Chotem means Dav the Pitam and nothing under the Pitam, because the Pitam is... Really, that's the apex of the Esrog, the Lashon, the Rif, also, not on the Chotem Sugya, but on the Pitmoso Sugya. He says, what's Pitmoso? Dad shall Esrog v'hu Chotmo.
And actually, here he has a different. He calls the stick part the Pitam and the top knob, the Shoshanta.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean the stick part.
Okay.
Now the Rush understood that the Rach of the Riff meant what he said. It means the top part. The Chotem is a little more of the top part. The Pitam is a little less of the top part. So the Rush thought that the Riff and the Rach were like him. But I think the Pashtos of the Rach and the Riff and the Rambam, and it would make sense for them to be together, is that it documents the Pitam, and maybe the Pitam is. You know, that's really the spitz, as they literally, the spitz of the Esrog, and maybe that's where it's possible. Okay, so we have four different shatim. What a chota means, halachal maisa, we paskin like the rush, which is, you know, and the rush and rashi are each more machmir, more mekel, but the rush is certainly more machmir than the ritva. What?
What is the chazazis on the pitam like the Rambam look like?
Like boils. I don't know.
But it's only a stick.
Okay. So first of all, here it gets a little tricky. Like some of the pitam is actually yellow, and you know, it's not so posh that the pitam is only a stick. I checked once; most of the pitam is yellow. Sometimes all the pitam is yellow. Might depend how dry or fresh it is, or on something else, and maybe even the stick can have a boil. I don't know; it's a boil; it's not a discoloration. Okay, the Gra does point out, we do have two interesting machlokos in brought down in the Shulchan Aruch as to when this Chumar of Chotem applies. Everyone who talks about it seems to admit that Chazozis is possible kosher on the Chotem. They also seem to admit, because the Gemara, by the Numer line, seems to compare Chazozis with Shinoi Mara, that Shinoi Mara is possible kosher on the Chotem. Okay, it's not explicit in the Gemara, but that seems to be agreed upon by whatever Rishonim discuss it. I can't promise you everyone agrees. But then there are some other cases where it's a machlokes whether this humra of Chotem applies. And those are two places in the Shulchan Aruch that I put on the sheet here. Number one is, what about Nisdak? Right? Nisdak is a big machlokes Rishonim. How much of a tzedek is Nisdak? But the Shulchan Aruch passes is like Tosos only if it's Nisdak the whole way. Nisdak means it's like you slice into your esrog. Nothing's missing from the esrog. But you're sliced into it, and now there's like a little bit of a wedge opening, or that could be opened. So if it's nistak, the Shulchan Aruch passes only if it's the whole way. The Ramah is machmir even if it's rove. And then he says, "V'yesh mishomer dafka l'mata v'chot mafil kolshu." Okay, it's 2 days. The second day it says, sounds like it's 2 days. That clear. The second day, the first day it says only if it's from the top to the bottom, meaning it's not enough just the top. This is, first day it says no, a tzedek kolshu on the chotem is not a problem. The second day it says, no, said that kolshu on the chotem is a problem, just like Chazaz's kolshu on the chotem is a problem.
Why isn't the chazaz, there always some juice that comes out?
Juice is not chazaz, only flesh is chazaz. And likewise, a little later in Siman Tov Reish Mem Ches, Shulchan Aruch says, a chazaz and shini mare is posel on the chotem b'kolshu, v'yeish v'shomer duha din yavish. First day thinks not Yavish. Second day thinks Yavish also posel on the Chotem bit kol shehu. So here we have two machlokos here in the Shulchan Aruch. How far to take this Chumar of Chotem? Let's see if I can squeeze this in. How about Sol Bechotem Bekolshu. Chazazis is possible Bekolshu on the Chotem. Shinoi Mare
the Rishon equate to Chazazis is possible. Even though the Ritva said, maybe it's only Chazazis. Okay, the Rishon equate Shinei Mara to Chazazis, we will grant them that. But there are two machlokas. Nistak is a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. And Yavesh is also machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, these are, if you look in Rishonim, it's going to be hard to find exactly these machlokas explicitly the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That's why I brought you to the Shulchan Aruch. But if you're medayik enough from Rishonim, maybe then you can find this machlokas. The question is, what is the yesod of this machlokas as to whether the chumrah of chotem is only for chazaz and shinui mara, or is also for yavesh and nistak? And it's also unclear, is that the same machlokas of yavesh and nistak, or is it just two coincidentally parallel or two parallel machlokos? Is not clear in the Shulchan Aruch. If you go to the Rishonim, it's a little complicated, because then the Shulchan Aruch quotes them in a funny way. Anyway, what's the yesod of this machlokas, or these two machlokos? Here, it's not 100% clear to me. Says the Gra, and this makes an assumption. He says, you know what? Chazaz is posel berubo. Chotmo counts like rubo. It's as noticeable as rubo, right? Right? Rashi says chotem is more noticeable. Shinui Mara is posel berubo. Chotmo counts as rubo. Nistak is only posel bekulo. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Not the Rambam. The Rambam says rubo, but the Machaber says kulo. And Yavesh is only posel bekulo, is his assumption. It's only posel if it's all Yavesh. So therefore, what's the machlokes? Is chotem as choshev as rov, or is chotem even as choshev as kulo, as the whole thing? So one opinion says no, chotem is as choshev as rov, but nistak ruvo is kosher, and yavish ruvo is kosher. The other opinion says no, chotem is as choshev as the whole thing. Chotem counts like the whole thing. So nistak kulo is puzzle, nistak chotmo is puzzle, yavish kulo is puzzle, yavish chotmo is puzzle. Okay, maybe that's one way of reading this machlokas. Then you have to just ask, like, why should it be like rov, and why should it be like kulo? Is it just on machlokas in aesthetics? Like, how noticeable is it? It's a little funny. Rubo seems pretty noticeable. So it's a little tricky. I would have said, chotmo is like rubo. Rubo is pretty noticeable. You know, whichever way you turn it, you're going to notice it. Chotmo is pretty noticeable. If rubo is kosher, that's already noticeable. Must be a special rule that it's only possible if it's on kulo. So why should chotmo be like kulo? Unless you want to say something very radical. One day it says chotmo is just noticeable, like Rashi. So it's like rubo, which is noticeable. The other day it says chotmo is not just noticeable. Chotmo is the ikker of the esrog, and everything else is tuffle to it. And the ikker is like the whole thing. Okay, that's a big finish. But one way of analyzing this is, and you can analyze it however you want, I can't say I have a clear idea of all the possible and correct ways to analyze it. One way of analyzing this, what's the yesod? Hamachlokes, says the Gra, is chotmo kerubo, or is chotmo kikulo? And again, why would it be like rubo, why would it be like kulo? The Gra doesn't explain. Maybe you can say if it's like Rashi, it's noticeable counts like rov. Or if you say, no, it's the ikker of the whole esrog, then maybe that counts as kulo. I thought maybe you could say a different vart. You could say very simple. In what kind of psulim is, and again, this is not going to work for all the Rishonim, who the Mechaber is based on, but that's not necessarily ma'akev. In what kind of psulim is, should chotem be more chomer than the bottom of the esrog? Psulim mitam what? Mitam hadar. When it comes to hadar, that depends how noticeable it is. So it could be that maybe this depends if these psulim are mitam hadar or mitam something else. If nistak is mitam hadar, nistak chotmo is pretty noticeable. That's ugly. But if nistak is not mitam hadar, if instead nistak is mitam treifa, as we'll see, that it's considered dead, then the chotem doesn't kill it more than the other part. Biologically, I don't think there's any more life force in the chotem than any other part. And likewise, by yavish, if yavish mitam hadar, then I understand. Yavishus on the chotem is pretty ugly. But if yavish is not mitam hadar, after all, even though the Gemara says it is, right? If the raivid yavish is mitam mace, it's no more dead on the chotem than any place else. Here I'm going out on a limb and I'm not really matching the raivid, but maybe you could say, if you want, is that ha'im nistak v'yavish mitam hadar, or mitam mace, or something else. And if it's a mace, then the chotam doesn't kill it. You know, 10% of the chotam doesn't kill it any more than 10% of the bottom. Sitam hadr, 10% of the chotam is uglier than 10% of the bottom. Okay, you could also just say it's maybe a judgment call, but if it is mitam hadr, maybe some things depend on how noticeable and some things don't, if you want. You could say, yavish is mitam hadr l'kuli amma. But some people say if it's mitam hadr, a little yavish on the chotam is noticeable. And the others say, no, the kind of hadr of yavish doesn't depend on how a little is not noticeable, only a lot is. So you can always say just that stam technical machlokas, and we will leave it at that.
Rashi and Rashi and maybe Rashi. Mm-hmm. Noticeable is something noticeable. According to the others, how noticeable is anything?
According to the Ritva, I understand that's noticeable, because if you're looking down, that's what you really see. You really see that top ridge. You don't really see this whole slope in your... I know technically you can notice the whole slope looking down, but you don't really... You really notice the top. I need to bring this up.
You think it's like this,
no? I mean... No, we're not talking about when you check it. We're talking about when you stop see it. Uh-huh. Right? Checking is not fair. We check a stroke more macro than we need to, usually. Although that's not what you demonstrated. It's a good question, meaning the yesh lotum is a matter of nicker, or you could say something else. It's not a matter of nicker. It's that... You know, remember we saw in I think maybe it was Rabban or something that said when he came to in the sugya of Niktam Rosho, maybe said that the hadar of it is in the pitam. The hadar of it is in the top. That's where its hod v'hadar is. So maybe you could say it could be, is it a matter of noticeable, or is it just a matter of that's defining how it looks? Not that it's more noticeable, but it's more important. Now you have to figure out why it should be more important if it's not noticeable. Somehow, psychologically, that's, we judge more by certain things. Usually, psychologically, we judge by what's noticeable. But maybe after you could say that the machlokas here is just a matter of what's noticed or what is more central, more ikker. And then, maybe you could bring it back to this. Okay, I think you're absolutely right. It's very subtle, and I don't see it defined that well in the Rishonim or the Achronim that I've looked at. But Efshar, if you want to say, it's a matter of stam that you notice it, and then what you notice is like a rove. It's not more than a rove. After all, how can you notice this more than you notice the rove? Or is it not a matter of what you notice it, is that that's the part that's its glory. That's its glory. And if that's its glory, maybe that's like kulam. Okay, I agree to Arav. Okay, we're supposed to learn nitlapit maso now. Nitlapit maso, the Gemara is very easy. Not. Tana Rav Yisrael Lazar nitlapuch maso. Right? It's very simple. He just says nitlapuch maso. The only thing we don't know is two things. A, is nitlapuch maso the same as nitlapit maso or different than nitlapit maso? And B, what's a what's a pitma? And C, if they're not the same thing, what's a buchna? Okay, so we don't know any of those things. And of course, D, Nitl Oktso is kosher. What's an Oketz? So all those things are what we have to figure out. What we have to chazer, rather. Hopefully we've already figured it out. And then E, the Lumdus. Why is Nitl Pudmaso Pasol? What category of Psalm does it fall into? The hour is already almost 11 o'clock. Now, Rav Lichtenstein, if he was up to like a new sugya, and it was 1 minute till the end of Shir, he would say, you can't stop Shir early. And he would start the new sugya. And of course, he couldn't even begin the first part of the new sugya, or complete the first part of the new sugya, until about 20, 25 minutes. And then by the time we got to lunch, there was very little food left. And we felt good about it. And we were proud. But in any case, I'm not in the trade over Lichtenstein. So we'll have to continue Amir Tzashem next time. So next time we'll talk about Nitlapid Maso. It shouldn't take us too long. And we will go on to the Psulim on Daf, the first half of Daf Lamed Vav Aleph. So you could start with Gemara Rashi Tosos on the first half of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph until I send out the Makoros.